what I'm afraid of, we don't have enough time because Jack Michaels, Chris Atterbury, the studio and play-by-play host for the Minnesota Twins Radio Network, is with us. And you guys go back so long. I'm just going to let you guys go.
Yeah, but we'd probably just age ourselves a little bit, right, Craig? Craig, partner, how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're just. If you have a shovel, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that. I was on a little preseason spring break trip with the family to Mexico. Landed last night. We're flying in. I'm looking down. I'm like, what's all the white stuff? That sand beaches? Are those white sand beaches? Is that what I'm flying into?
Yeah.
Turns out not. Not so much.
You sound fresh for just returning from an excursion, by the way.
Yeah, well, it was, I got to freshen up for the season here. We are in opening week. So I spent some confinement time with the family, and now I won't see him for 6 months. So, yeah.
nice knowing you. See you later. Chris, you've been at this a long time. What's your gut right now feeling regarding this particular Minnesota Twins team, at least at the start of the season? What are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm generally not a guy, and you know this, yeah. And I get a lot of grief for this from my colleagues. I'm not a big opening day guy. You know, there's people who prance around, oh, it should be a holiday and this and that. I like the grind. I'm more of the fast-forward me 12 days into the season where we're just in the anonymous weekday grind of the season. That's kind of where I live. That's where I thrive. So the bubbly events on the outside, it just gets me out of the routine. So I'm not supercharged over the festivities necessarily. But I think we have in Twins uniforms this year, spiffy new Twins uniforms, by the way, I think we have more good baseball players, 1 through 60, in our organization than we've had in a long time. I'm not saying we're the best team that we've had in my time here, which is now this will be my 17th year. But I think we have more solid depth. When a guy goes down, the next man up is a seasoned Major League Baseball player, not a hopefully he can be a Major League Baseball player or he used to be a Major League Baseball player. I think we've got more just good, solid pieces than we've had in a long time. Now, for that to translate into big wins and a memorable summer, the high-end pieces have to perform like high-end pieces, and we've got to stay healthy and all of those things. But I think just solid baseball players, I think we're better equipped to deal with the grind of the season than we've been in a while.
I like your take on the opening day in this aspect of it, is that there's 162 games and I can go to work the next day and say, oh, I can't believe the Twins lost their opener. It's going to be a rough year, isn't it? I'm like, come on, I know it was 7-1, but I mean, this is a long marathon, not a sprint. So to your point, yeah, we can get caught up in one game just a little bit too much. But I think for, like you said, I mean, well, I think we had Dan Gladden on last week and where they start off 1-7 or something like that in 1991. You just don't know, but for me, the excitement of the season, certainly it's second to none as far as any baseball, any other sport, because, well, we're hoping spring will get here. We're hoping summer will get here.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it, right? It coincides with good things. When baseball is back, that means that, hey, it's almost summer. Hey, it's time to get the boat out. Hey, it's time to put the boots away. So hopefully that's the case. I think the schedule is interesting to me this year. Royals, Marlins aren't great teams. You're starting on the road. This was a bad road team last year. I remember was it Molly's first year? We started in Detroit, and then we went to Chicago. We went like 0-6. It was just like, and it went from all this excitement to like, I think that was the year that Irvin Santana got popped for PEDs like the night before the opener.
Right.
And I mean, it was just a scramble, and it just started to spiral. And you're on the plane going, oh God, this, I thought everybody got to win in the first week. And so I think it's one of those deals where you look at the schedule, it's kind of a soft open, but it is on the road. And if you could come home with some optimism and some wins, then you're feeling pretty good about yourself as you start your home campaign.
Twins broadcaster Chris Atterbury, you hear Twins across the Twins territory. And, you know, Chris, you mentioned opener, and we're talking opener into this. How long are we past the opener? And I'm talking pitching now, where it's like, I know that Pablo Lopez is the opening day starter. Is our vernacular going to go back to someday going, hey, who's the opening day opener for the Minnesota Twins.
I hope not. I like starters, man. I like starters a lot. I think Sonny Gray made his opinion known in the piece Phil Miller wrote today about how he felt the usage last year wasn't good. I think what we're learning is that trying new things is great, but that if you have good pitchers, then you don't need openers. A lot of those strategy moves and where they came from, they were fueled by trying to be cheap or covering for mistakes. We only got three good starters. Well, let's use an opener on the fourth day. Well, you can do that in a vacuum. You can have a guy only face the lineup twice in a vacuum, like in the playoffs, right? Have your starter face a guy twice, and then you've got like six, you know, fire-breathing relievers to bring out of your bullpen to get the last nine outs. But if you play every day, that's why baseball is baseball in large part. You need guys who can go out and pitch not just chunks of innings, but effective innings. It's why it's different than softball. Look at college baseball versus college softball, a rotation versus having one dominant pitcher who can pitch every inning.
Right.
It's part of the game. And so I like the way this team looks because this team is built on, and I don't care what anyone tells you, it's built on pitching and defense. It's built on we need to limit runs and hope we score enough to win. This is not the 2019 Bomba Squad offense. Now, there's potential there for it to be a decent offensive club, but this team's going to win and lose based on catching the ball and based on pitching the ball. And right now, I you've got five legitimate starters in the rotation. You don't have a Chris Archer or a Dylan Bundy who's hoping to find something and hoping their arm doesn't fall off in the fourth inning. And you've got a guy in Bailey Ober who's a legit major league starter who's going to start the year in AAA. And beyond that, I think that entire Saints rotation is going to be guys who, if and when they're going to be needed, and they'll all be needed, have pitched in the big leagues and pitched effectively, not a, I hope he can handle it, or I wonder how he's going to react to three decks in the stadium. They're all going to be guys who've been there, done that. I think we're deeper in that respect than we've been in forever. And I think that's a really good thing. And I hope Pablo's honestly pitching in the eighth inning on Thursday.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up because of this rotation. It's so intriguing. And I think one of the big cogs in it, because he was he was a Cy Young finalist a couple of years ago, Kenta Maeda. I mean, that is a huge factor in all this, how he's going to come back and how healthy he'll be.
Yeah, and he's kind of lurking, right? Because I think right now we're saying, okay, Lopez is a legit guy. 180 innings last year. He pitched great for Venezuela in the WBC. He gave up a lot to get him. So, all right, here you go. He's in his physical prime. He's a sharp dude. Sonny Gray, I think you guys are going to find a very different Sonny Gray than the one you saw last year. I think the short ramp up after the lockout with spring training, I don't think he was ever really truly himself. I think Sonny Gray this year is going to blow your minds in terms of the type of pitcher he is, how competitive he is, how creative he is on the mound. I think he's going to be one of the handful of guys who uses the pitch clock to his extreme advantage. So he's going to be a different guy. And then suddenly, oh, by the way, Kenta Maeda was one of the best pitchers in the league a couple of years ago. That's a nice thing. Mix in Joe Ryan, who, again, he was an old rookie, but he was an effective one. And stylistically, all those guys are very different in terms of how they get you out. They're all right-handed. The only thing they have in common. And then on the back end, Tyler Mahle, I think the shoulder obviously is something we need to be very careful with and look at and see how the velocity fluctuates and whatnot. But he's a guy who's been a highly effective pitcher as well. So these are experienced, versatile big league guys who all get you out different ways, and I think that's what you need in a rotation. A
couple minutes remaining with Chris Atterbury joining us. Chris does a number of hats, play-by-play, analyst, studio host, Twins broadcaster, and it's our spring training show presented by Muscatel Subaru, J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming. I think I have an Atterbury sports card from 1990, Fargo Post 400.
Chris, well, I might have signed that for you.
You probably did, right after I almost hit you with that golf ball. And anyway, Chris has so many attributes to him, and one of his great ones is his ability to storyteller dive in and get behind the scenes, and even sometimes I don't pray for rain delays, Chris, but because you fill that with some really good stuff on top of it, it's kind of neat when you listen to Twins baseball. And then I bumped into Chris, and Chris, you can tell this story. Derek, where's the movie The Sandlot fit in your top baseball movies of all?
Boy,
is it high?
There. Yeah, it's up there. That's like asking me my favorite food. It's hard to narrow it down, but it's up there.
I go down to visit, go down to Target Field in recent years, and go down to visit my buddy Chris, and I popped in. And Chris, for those of you who don't know, Chris isn't like sitting on a sky. You know, he's down there and like in the bowels getting his work done in the studio. And I popped into you. Remember what you said? He goes, you should have been with me yesterday. Hamilton Porter was in here or something. I'm like,
yeah.
What?
He goes, yeah.
The cast from the satellite. Yeah. You had Squints in there, right?
We had this whole like metaverse Christopher Nolan movie thing going on because it was a rain delay. It was Sandlot Day. Squints and Ham were here. It was weird enough that Squints had like sleeve tats on his arm. That was always off-putting. And Ham was like skinny and jacked. But they were here promoting like the movie, and they're going to show in the ballpark. But we had a rain delay, so they're in the studio talking about their project, and on the screens, they have like five TVs in here, is their movie. So I'm sitting with the grown-up Squints and Ham talking on the air live as they're watching their younger selves act out the movie, and it was kind of like the greatest director's cut of all time. It was a pretty good rain delay.
That's good stuff, man. Gold right there.
That is.
Well, of course, you bring a lot of gold to it, make it very entertaining. Can't wait for it to hear you on a Thursday, because that's when it really starts for me to know that spring and summer are going to be here eventually, even though we got a lot of snow here up in the Red River Valley.
Eventually
it will be here, that is for sure. Safe travels to you. Enjoy your time, and we'll be looking forward to Thursday.
All right, go Twins. We'll see you then.
Good
All right, thank
Chris.
You very much. Chris Atterbury again, the Twins Radio Network studio host, does a lot of play-by-play throughout the summer. Always good to have him on the News and Views Radio Network.